August 30, 2023,
it's the Wap
Pedro Show.
I think the majority of musicians are interested in truth. You know, they've got to be, because a musical thing is the truth. If you play, make a statement, a musical statement, and it's a valid statement, that's the truth right there in itself, you know. And if you play something phony, well, you know that's phony, you know. And all musicians are striving to get near perfection as they can get. Mm-hmm. And that's truth there, you know. And so in order to play those kind of things, play truth, you've got to live with as much truth as you possibly can, you know.
Wofford Pedro Show. Happy Wednesday. Last Wednesday for a couple months. Because you got a Sally Ford brother, man. How
it's
you
a
doing?
Beautiful Wednesday in the neighborhood.
Wow. How'd that. Last time we talked, they plucked out of what?
I had a chunk removed. Oh, got all.
But you said silver dollar, but it ended up bigger than silver.
Yeah, it was like the whole wallet.
Yeah, oh,
But yeah, I'm good to go for another 100,000 miles or more. And just had a pitching trip to the Isthmus. For Catalina.
Yeah. That's so, Catalina Island people, the other side usually.
That was righteous.
In Yosher. And kind of campground.
Mostly campground. There's one pad. We stayed at the pad. It was built by Banning Brothers. So it was a hunting lodge. Been there over 100 years.
That's right.
Bitchin'.
These were like the brothers. Yeah, right.
Phineas's sons.
It's Phineas's sons, the guy who built the harbor.
Uh-huh.
And he ends up getting hit by a trolley car up in the city.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then his daughter Lucy, their sister, I think pissed everything away.
Uh-huh.
Her last husband was a Japanese wrestler.
Wow,
because
you don't see any Banning kin around these days. It didn't seem like there's no kids left over. Yeah,
that's all right.
Yeah, I'm the last of my line.
From Delaware.
Yeah,
the town's name.
We must.
Now look, we should tell people we started off with John Coltrane, Target August Bloom on June 15, 1958, about truth in music. Very important. Subject. And then Brock Treb with Bossa Dub Brute. And in person, Brother Matt joining us, a recent Pedro now resident.
Right on.
All the way from fucking West Mass parts, way east of here.
Brother, to as west as you can go.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for having me.
Been in Pedro
it's almost been a year.
12 months.
Right on. My 1 year anniversary. So I get to celebrate it.
What are you going to do for that?
In Brother Matt's pad.
Right on.
Looking at the three of you in person.
Cool. Happy anniversary.
Yeah, thank you, man.
So how's that first year worked out for you?
It was tough at first, and now it's beautiful. I love it. So
down?
Yeah, bring
the
it down.
Master,
I can.
The master.
Yeah.
Just the master.
But yeah, we're checking the levels. You know, still working it through. But
always
part of the flavor
on the fly.
You
that's beautiful.
Heard 20 years.
22 years ago.
22 years.
Oh my God.
Yeah. 4 months.
Yeah.
Well. Still blowing clams up.
Yeah.
part of the flavor.
Yeah, we're not
part of the flavor.
We should be talking about your musical adventure, but us being Pedro dudes.
I just pedaled over, man. I'm still catching my breath.
Yeah, you need a fan on?
No, I'm good. No, I think it'll screw up the recording.
I came here when I was 9. How old? Yeah, we don't want the fucking sound.
Yeah. 46.
How old were you?
46 when
okay.
I rolled up.
It's a little different.
But now I'm down.
Though, is from here, born bred.
Yay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Authentico.
I just read that the Isthmus was the gateway to the afterlife.
Right on.
That's on the top of the little marker, historical marker, talking about the Gabrieliano Tongva people.
Oh, right on.
And,
the locals. The real locals.
Yeah, so I'm glad you didn't go to the afterlife.
The real
when
locals.
You,
yeah,
you
I just
to
wanted
celebrate.
To check the door, make sure I knew the way.
Yeah, but now you know the zone, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that was Father Sarah's idea anyway.
Yeah.
They had their own thing going.
Oh,
in fact, you had to ask the lady, the medicine lady, to get your sage. Because the white sage is very precious.
Yeah, you don't want to.
Don't
pull it.
Okay, let's get into your musical journey.
Yeah, man.
Earliest musical memory.
Oh, God. Yeah, I've been thinking about this, and I actually...
Remember, it's Watford Pedro show. There's no hard questions.
No.
There's no wrong answers.
This is true. This is true. But when I think about it, there's three songs that come into my brain, and
they're songs.
They're songs, like specific memory. Songs. I don't really have, like, my family wasn't musical.
Cats on the show. Was hearing stuff while they were inside their
mom. Oh, I don't have any of that. Although I was inside my mom in California.
I had other dudes
which
their
is,
first memory is in their 30s.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no, actually.
Vincent only painted his last 10 years.
Well, this is.
Like Mr. Wells learned is, we sell no wine before it's time.
Well, so I would say. The tune that, and I had to look this up because I was never a Joe Jackson. I was never a Joe Jackson fan.
Fucking wind blowing through the goddamn vines is a music, okay? But if you want to call it human organized tunes.
This tune though, the chord progression for Steppin' Out by Joe Jackson. I remember that. But the things that I remember, I don't remember. I don't remember lyrics or anything. But I remember those tones, the way those tones progress. And then the other thing that my earliest though is as a little kid going down the street and singing Beat on the Brat. And there was no one in Lenox,
Ramonage.
Massachusetts when I was a little kid
Ramonage.
That were punks. There was no punks. It was just, I just remember
right,
saying Beat on the Brat. And Whip It was another, those were the two other songs that like, that sang as a child.
Your oldest musical
but
memory.
I, those are the lyrics I remember, which is so weird.
Not multiple cooks.
Oh no, I got more. Whole lot of love.
Now, this grew up here, did it have musical instruments?
The family home had one steel string acoustic guitar that my dad strummed Eagles tunes periodically. No one liked music in the family.
Did
it was.
You jump on it?
I eventually did. It
yes,
took time.
Okay.
It took time.
Did you dig it?
I was. It wasn't. It wasn't like I'm gonna play guitar, right? but I was putting things in the strings
that.
And making noises.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
At school, were you in the marching band or the choir or shit like that?
So what was it? Fourth grade, third grade. I had joined my you know, I joined the band.
Oh, no.
It wasn't even joined. It was, you know, music. And I got trumpet.
Yes.
And so I was blasting on trumpet. They said, take it home, do whatever you want with it.
You mouthpiece way before you
I had a lot of fun.
I gotta tell you, we're euphonium students.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This is way in the future, so let's
this
backwards.
Yeah,
you're
yeah, we'll
trumpet.
Get to the euphonium.
Now, are you doing, like, football games and shit?
No, this is elementary school.
Yeah.
Little, like,
so
6-year-old. I don't even remember how old
shit,
I was.
Right?
But the thing I do remember is that we had a choice to go to visit my grandparents in Florida or practice for the recital that I needed to be there for.
Right.
And I said, well, Disney World is the option. So I chose Disney World and never went back to band. Because I would rather check out Disney World at that age than go to the, and see my grandparents. And so,
so
that was the end. That was the end of the trumpet. It went back. I never went back to it.
I never went back. But you did get some experience.
There was a taste.
There was some foreshadowing going on.
Yeah, yeah.
There was some foreshadowing because they didn't know that euphonium was in your way down the road. First record you bought with your own money, please.
Oh, shit.
1984, Van Halen. Okay. Actually, I don't know if I bought it, but I got it. It was a cassette.
What's your favorite color? Blue, no brown.
Yeah, no. It's definitely 84. It's definitely...
Back that Monty Python scene.
Always. It's, yeah.
First gig you saw?
Beach Boys.
Right on. What year?
Choice?
Dragged along. You know what? This is like the only music that my dad, I really remember them, like, along. Being into. And singing Barbara Ann and doing this in the car.
Yeah, Keith Moon, too. He loved that, too.
And so... We went to Saratoga Performing Arts Center. This is when my family lived in the Hudson Valley in Albany. And we saw, had to be mid-80s.
Okay.
So I don't know what lineup of the Beach Boys it was.
Now look, since the trumpet, when do you get operate a musical instrument again?
I do want to say my early sexual experiences also coincided with this concert.
You gotta come on with John Truman.
Yeah, I'm just going to say that someone... A girl behind me kept pinching my ass when I stood up when the songs were coming on. And at the time, it was very confusing. I was a little mad about it. So I was definitely young enough to be mad about it.
I think that was music's fault.
But I kept jumping up to dance. And I kept getting touched. So I'm just saying. Getting back into it, I started learning, I don't know what it was. I think it was my mom was pushing it on me to do something, cause I wasn't into sports. I wasn't taking to sports at all. And she really wanted me to have something in my life. And so, there was guitar, do you want to take lessons? She really wanted me to take piano lessons. She had this weird, housewife thing that, I should learn how to do parlor tricks for the royalty. She was very interested in etiquette, like knowing which fork was what and all that. She said she didn't want her kids to like look like for eating with the king. Yeah, we didn't. Yeah, so she said, you're gonna learn piano, and I was like, hell no, I didn't want to learn piano.
There wasn't one
at that point. But I was getting into rock, and so I was like, yeah, well, I'd learn bass. Bass is cool. It's fatter strings. It's lower. So I started taking bass lessons.
What was your first bass?
Oh God, your gear is a Fender.
Did she buy it for you?
Yeah, that was
Thank
the family.
Ma.
Yeah. Oh, Steve definitely.
Boone's mom put me on bass.
The parents.
Steve Boone's mom, mm-hmm. Margie.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it fucking was. You knew how to ask for it. I
said,
you guys are gonna have a band, and
check
you're
it
gonna
out.
Be on bass.
But
I use the 3-letter question. Why? Because every band has one. Yeah. I found out the Doors didn't. But actually, they're on the records. Yeah. But I didn't remember. Right? Roxy Music. I found out.
Yeah, there. Yeah.
But whatever. It was good enough to be with D. Boone. I said, fuck it.
Totes.
And I still thank her to this day. So, in lessons, that came with the bass.
So, I took a little bit of lessons, but most of the time, I was making noise with my friends. So, this whole thing about getting the trumpet and take it home and see what it can do as my first instruction, I had far more fun with that. And so, I was starting to fuck around with my dad's acoustic guitar. We were starting to fuck around with sounds.
Yeah.
We were recording tapes.
Who's we?
Oh, my buddies and I. We would draw cartoons, comics together.
I was going to ask you about that, but first I want to play some more. No, this is Fat Worm of Error.
Yeah, you already had Chris Cooper on this show.
Thank you.
All I ever wanted to do was violate the great American myth. I know I'm not big enough to destroy it. Life is a travesty. 1,000 pints of light falling from grace with the goose. Howard Hughes, a wing, a prayer. See below, we have clowns in our show. El Noche, la cerveza, the metal, the shaman brother. As cats walk backward, clowns cover believable eyes in Joan of Arc's home court. Plastic dogs sample after the soldier in the rain, and I won't let her punch my line. Avenging, an angel steps through while my waking, waking, still waking. A wish and a whisper, the walls have ears. My psychiatrist loves me. She won't understand an echo. A prayer from Brian Wilson's church, but Bone Jisms is a tenor man. And the guests came in through little funnels, dripping, burning embers, red sky at midnight. Fade the black moon tower, Dixieland, my cross conveyor. Irrationality is bliss. Limeys don't eat tofu, airhead. Can I tie my shoe now, Jack? Worshipping volcanoes on virgin knees. My love for a bowl of chili. Oi, mate, would you be fancy in a cheese sandwich then? So maybe we're waiting for a heavy alloy savior? Ozzy? No corn in my horn, not where this bop drops. It's no fun looking for churches. Give me the heat, deep dish where the jets come down and jazz. Oh! Dancing on the head of a pin. Kudo, rubber shake shake, Katama banana tasaya. Zen master sweet corn, watermelon colors the heavens soft. Min, May, shiny, tweeter, deity. Paranoia pretends eating jalapeno pot pie. Now, Alpha, not a trace of moss dripping Omega. Los Alamos, another roadside refraction. J. Robert Oppenheimer, Edward Teller, the physicists have known sin. Here in the midst of graveyards that push up light, I'll trade you 2 good Shirleys for 10,000 dead Midwestern Indians.
What the hell? I can dig your plot, man.
17 cases and I'm sure feeling fine, except for when 6 turns out to be 9 for a good time called 392-8381. Ask for charity. Sweet. For a better time, don't call. Let your fingers do the talking. Gain. Loss. Nothing more than something less. Sizzle the pants right off of me. Sizzle that neo-orthodoxy right into my... what the hell? The whole gelatinous thing. The neo-gelatinous thing. The Neolithic gelatinous think. It's all water under the meter bridge now. Life is a travesty. More than an old joke.
But I'm still, I have
Show. That chunk of music started off with Fat Worm of Air, live in Paris 2006, doing Hand of God. Then Spotsky.
Hey.
Too Wise to Crack. He's a spieling on the essence of the reality on the dealio, people. Brand new from Emily Robb. Philly scene, right? Friend of Bill Nace. Richie. His buddy. There it goes again. She's running a studio now. Just made another solo record. Bob Lord after that. Betty and Barney Hill through Franconia Notch, 1961. Big ass title for 8 seconds, though. Victoria Shin, 3-speed record.
Hell yeah.
Incredible. Victoria Shin. You know, yeah, she's got the 3.
Oh, I played a bunch with her. Yeah.
Stylus is.
Oh yeah.
There, yeah.
Yeah, she's great.
And by the on the side, you know, teaches physics at MIT, Stanford. Incredible.
Mad scientist.
Yeah, and like to put herself through school, she got a job at a synth factory. That's where she learned how to build them and invent them. There's nothing more dangerous than a good idea. Doug Wimbush, incredible bass man out of Connecticut, glorification chant from this solo record. Model Home and Wolf Eyes doing a collab, Staircase Vocal, Carnage Asada from their new album, Brother Steve on the bass. Psychedelic Experiment, another kind of artist. And then finally, again, Rob Temp, Klutzy Leo. Parentheses, used to play basketball. I thought there was no sports in the universe.
There was briefly. They tried. They tried, but it didn't stick.
We caught him, Brother Man.
Oh, it's, yeah. Catholic Youth League basketball for a couple of years, but I'm not good at that. I'm not good at competition.
Competition is none. So you stand in at the top like the sun. Burn whoever come. I'm trying to rock him thing. Should have brought your neighborhood to support you. Anyway, so you got this bass. What kind of amp? I mean, I'm a little prejudiced towards bass.
Oh, God. It was a PV micro bass, which I still have down the street.
Wow.
I still have that bass, too. I still play it every now and then.
Yeah, that's good.
Bump around. Yeah.
Right.
It's got a good bonky sound. It doesn't get over drums by any stretch, but it's a...
Especially for practice with Man Alone.
Yeah.
You'd have to get over those drums.
Yeah. So.
Like you got Watts Prac Pad, right?
Yeah.
You make use of that.
Oh, I'll be making use, yeah.
No, cool.
Yeah, he's going over to Raul. Uh-huh. His buddy with Raul.
Oh, bitching. Cool. Keeping it warm.
Yeah.
So, look. After school, not graduating, but in the afternoon, the bedroom band, the garage.
Oh, yeah.
The basement band. You got into that with your
bass. Total succession. I mean, that's the thing. It's like that.
Well, whose pad? Was it the guy with the drums?
It was all of it. We traded around.
Usually it's to do with the drums.
I know. Well, it's definitely to do with the drums because it was lazy, but we were, but we were also like, you know, that we could only, torture certain parents so much. So, you know.
Bam.
So it was a progression of a bunch of shitty punk bands.
What was the first one?
First one?
And what, like the material, where you try to copy songs off records?
Hell no. No, you know what, though? One of the songs that we did try to copy, because it just seemed like it was the easiest song to copy, was Slam Spit something 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 something. It's by it's on that Love Doll Superstar compilation. There's like a hardcore band, and it's like it's a comic hardcore band. It's probably Red Cross playing, pretending to be a hardcore band. But we did a song.
What was the girl band that was part of that?
I don't know. But
it's kind of, that's the movie.
It was just like,
making caricature.
Yeah. It was great. And we loved
satire,
it.
That's it.
And we loved it because we were drawing cartoons. The whole, before we got into music, we were into punks via comics. And
that's
and
how you artistically.
This is like,
why did you explain that to your mom?
Well, she saw it already because we were already screwing up her clothes and, you know.
No expression is expression. Yeah. Sometimes it's bass, sometimes it's the fucking.
Yeah. Well, they were.
What did Guthrie said? Some guys will rob you with a gun, some with a fountain.
Well, they, you know, so it was through the comics we were obsessed with punks, but we had no access to it because this is like just before the internet. So
let's blame it on that.
Blame it on that? Well, no access. That, you know where I got access? My first Husker record I heard. First Husker Du record I heard was at the public library in Pittsfield.
I couldn't draw with shit, but in
junior
high school, Don Brown, he could. But he let us try. And in fact, when I played last year in Seattle, he brought one of these comics that I made.
This
movie, Tora, Akira Kurosawa, right?
One of
the first things he was ever part of in this game. But I made a joke because I'm a child of Mad Magazine, which would be everything.
Oh, we were doing Cracked, you know, and of course that's for us was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and,
Mad would do parodies of movies and TV shows.
Oh yeah. This is that, and then we were into that, you know, as like fifth graders. I mean, like the second record I got was the Cramps Bad Music for Bad People. We never knew what that looked like. We just saw the LP and said, "Holy shit, this drawing is amazing." This yellow weird punk guy with rotten dead teeth. And we were like this, and we listened to that over and over again while drawing cartoon, you know, radioactive animals. And that's what got us into like finding metal, punk, and like all this other shit. And so that first band, we did a song called Immature Morons was one of the early ones.
That's supposed to Mature Morons.
Yeah, right. I know, it's just a totally stupid name. And that one we had.
I promise, Dad.
I'm trying to piss off the neighbors. That was the song that we were trying, and it was that same thing of like we didn't know how to tune. This is before the bass lessons. But we didn't know how to, we weren't taught that you tune the instruments to each other. So like, we didn't know that like, we knew that the patterns could be on the fretboard. But then like, once we actually tuned the instruments to each other, it's like this revelation. I think you've talked about that too.
Well, what we thought is, if you played Down on the Corner and it sounded right, you were in tune. We didn't know your Down on the Corner had to be the other guy's Down.
Yeah,
that's what we used the tune.
Yeah.
And we thought that sounded right. But the other thing, as far as pitch?
Yeah.
You had no idea it was related to that kind of.
Yeah.
You know, some dudes like strings tight, some like the blues.
Exactly. And so, yeah.
Once we sounded, thank God we ain't got tapes of that shit.
And it took us a while to figure that out, but
did you do any gigs?
Not with that one. Not with that one. It was really just like mostly to ourselves, and then the band after that, Lampstand.
Yeah.
Which was bass, keyboards, drums, and vocals.
Yeah.
No guitar.
Yeah.
We were playing like, we started playing shows, but the shows were like tiny, and they were in our own basements and in our friends.
Let's talk about the first one, because you can only have the first
one. Oh, Jesus. What? Yeah. Let me think. Yeah.
Well, where? What? How?
That was, sorry. I'm trying to think. Oh, it was at a YMCA in Pittsfield, Mass. It was like 92, 91, something like that.
What's the event?
It's like metal bands, Odium, hardcore bands. No, it was a show. It was like a real gig, but it was like Rough Intelligence, this rap group that was really good from Pittsfield. Wish, which was like this like kind of like they were basically like they wanted to be like Huskers or something, but it was like
okay, melodic
a little emo, yeah, but pre emo, you know, and Odium, that's though the strange. Metal band, but yeah, it was
like a real gig. How'd you guys get the gig, dudes?
I think it was our at the time the friends in Wish, they were like, oh, they got a punk band, they should play, you know, and like, okay. So we played.
So how'd it go?
I went okay, you know, there's some kids dancing.
Did you throw shit?
They threw some shit. You know, I mean, as you can imagine,
did you want it?
Metal band,
yeah,
rap,
but
rap.
Honest, I'm glad you destroyed that idea.
Yeah,
blur early on.
Okay. But the first punk show that I went to, I had my head put through a window at the bagel store in town.
That could kill you. Especially if they pull you back out.
No, it luckily.
No, my pop actually saw his
hat. It didn't happen like that.
You should not have safety glass.
It was safety glass.
He passes him up his first car, $50. He said he painted it with a barn brush. He said, for 50 yards, it looked like a fire engine. It looked like you painted with a fingerprint.
Oh, God.
He said, this guy passes him up. He's got the windows all rolled up. He's Baracho, you know, so they follow him. He runs into a fucking train. He goes in through the windshield, but only up to the shoulders, and no safety glass. So when he
oh,
comes
no.
back,
yeah, guillotine action.
Get this,
yeah.
Cap takes head, it comes over the top. And my pop and his buddy, they're teenagers, and they got their girlfriend. Yeah, they a lot of screaming.
It's not
dangerous to put people's heads through windows.
Safety glass. It was a spider web,
glass.
But it was enough to my cabeza hit that glass. And
safety glass is like a sheet of plastic between.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it didn't go through, but it shat, you know, and I it was like a bunch of metal dudes. They were just like, we were like two punks in the town.
Genre shit. It was
yeah.
music.
Well,
gentle.
They were a bunch of very difficult, angry men with mullets.
That also joined in with the music.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were part of the ritual.
Because, see, this is where all this tribalism
starts.
With arts.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, a religious symbol like a circle cross gets turned into this hooked cross. The rights.
Kreuzberg. Yeah. All that shit.
That's dangerous. Guy was kicked out of art, wouldn't let him into art school. Look, he made everybody pay for it.
Yeah.
That asshole.
Well.
Anyway.
That was.
How long does this band last?
I don't know, through high school, pretty much. I mean, it's sort of like...
But you never toured, did you record?
Oh, no, never tour. We never even got out of the Berkshires, which is the county we were in.
I played there last summer.
Well, I think I met you at Simon's Rock College. That was that gig the Firehose played.
This was loud, but...
probably around that same time.
It was Wilco's
thing. Oh, that was... Yeah. That's the recent one, yeah.
Purpose Factory.
Yeah. But we never toured. It was just that we played the gigs. I went off to college doing I was doing cable access TV with my buddy in high school. So I was like into video production, and so I got into filmmaking and moved.
Do you have a musical component?
Yeah. I mean, the filmmaking is. I mean, we were doing. They were often like music videos or like music.
It was like in the 80s.
Bring your music to the video experience.
A little bit. I mean, the sensibility for sure. But yeah, not like.
I need background music for this scene.
Yeah. Like, yeah, whatever. You know, like, but, you know, so I went to college in about an hour east of there. And so I just did that. I was making films.
No bands
going to
in college.
No bands in college. I was making recordings. I was always like
Man Alone
type stuff. I was jamming with a lot of people and not really nothing ever coalescing as I had a weird kind of band called the Fondels. That was pretty fun, like kind of like noise rock band that lasted a summer. We played like four gigs, but not like, you know, it's never...
A lot of cats we have on the show, huge. College is a big time when they start bands.
Yeah. Not for me. I was like kind of nose to the grindstone. Well, I was in college. Well, not really nose to the grindstone. I was going to shows. I was just going to lots of shows and hanging out,
but
watching films.
But not on your own shows yet.
I wasn't playing.
After college.
That's
when you get into
that's where I got... Well, I got involved. I was involved in a DIY space called Flywheel in East Hampton. And I was my current partner and I were kind of like part of the original like collective that started that.
Flywheel's like a group, and then it would move to what available venue. Right?
It started as that, but then we got an actual venue.
Right, I remember.
And so we had a space for 20 years almost.
Yeah.
All volunteer. Consensus-based, collective decision-making, which you can see the lines in my face from that, but, real kind of like horizontal anarcho kind of vibe without being explicitly political. And we just had all sorts of people play there. It was amazing.
hometown and then touring units.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. And so, kind of out of that and seeing a lot of stuff, you know, I was running a film, experimental film series. I was playing, you know, some improvised stuff, and I started this Bromp Treb thing started happening around the same time. Started putting a name on it and doing more serious gigs around that same time that I started up Fat Worm of Error with Chris Cooper, Jess Goddard, Tim Sheldon, and Donnie Shaw.
Sometime in the 90s, right?
That's 2001, 2002. Okay. So like in that ballpark, early 2000s, late 90s. I graduated from college 99. Yeah. So
that's right, because you're only in your 40s.
Yeah. Young, well, almost.
God,
yeah.
I wouldn't working think that my would way. Say something only in your 40s.
Yeah, right. 47, though. I'm getting there.
No, you don't want it. Look, we're at the end of the first hour.
Oh, yeah.
August 30, 2023. This is Mark Peters' special guest, Neil Young Cloca. August 30, 2023, second hour, Walk for Pedro show.
Thank you. Thank you. trouble playing out a brand new life. With a steady hand, he's sure to make you feel alright. Well, I'm quaking in my boots, just hoping I don't miss you. I hope your Mr. Next won't be Mr. Wrong. He's been waiting for you long enough to hear this song. Everything will be much easier every day I'm gone. At least we finally found out that I was Mr. Wrong. And I hope your Mr. Next will be Mr. Right. You won't see me in the morning. You won't see me. Never feel bad again about my scooter friend. And you never get to kick me to the curb again. Troubles playing out in a brand new light. With a steady hand, he's sure to make it seem alright. But I'm quaking in my boots, just praying I don't miss you. Well, I hope your Mr. Next will be Mr. Right. Well, I hope your Mr. Next. I hope your Mr. Next. I hope your Mr. Next will be Mr. Right.
our show, start off the second hour with Enjoy the House. We did Rob Treb. After that, Bombas Prendon. Big favorite of Byron Coley.
Mm.
Byron Coley, very instrumental in me knowing.
Oh, the connect.
Byron and Lely.
Mm.
Of course.
Absolutely. I did my part. And flow. No, it's low with two L's. So I don't know how to fucking pronounce it. Yo. Know, right? Okay. St. Abdullah and Jason Nasri with Vacation from Memories, mm-hmm. I wish. Fat Worm of Air.
What's up?
Anglo Sox. Sprain. We think so ill of you. Whoa. That's a title. Get him over the hell with it. Helldecker from Germany with Husky. Dirk's buddies here.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This is via.
Oh, cool.
Brock Treb again with Meet Me at the Gates.
Oh, yeah.
Professor Eugene Chadbourne live. Mm. Heavy metal kid down the block. There goes that genre. Cowboys in the Campfire. Speaking about Hudson Valley, one of their more newer residents.
Oh.
Tommy from Matt's.
Oh.
And he's going acoustic now.
Cowboy.
But it's Cowboys in the Campfire, like somebody threw
Chuck
the barracho in you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then finally, Fat Worm Air. Again, Brick Face Vav 2 mix of Future Salad.
Furniture Salad. That's what it was.
Furniture
Sorry.
Salad.
My bad.
No, it is Furniture Salad.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Pilot Air.
We named it.
Don't blame the airplane, people. Don't blame the airplane. It's the asshole trying to fly. Okay. So hip us to this fucking Brock trip, since this is like your first unit.
Well, it's just the unit that remains. It's can't keep doing it.
Yeah, but it sounds like
it's
there was another phase when you were younger.
Yeah.
You went to college and now you're getting back into a
yeah.
phase.
I mean, basically through high school the whole time I'm in these bands, I'm recording. We're recording and fucking around with recording and going to Radio Shack and getting our realistic and Archer crap equipment and taping stuff. So, you know, I was doing a crappy tape label with my friends and putting out recordings.
Material, right? To other cats.
We were putting out basically our own stuff. It was just our label, bedroom label. You
okay,
know?
So you're like playing for microphones.
Plan for microphones and manipulating that.
Yeah,
I mean, that's like a big part of what the recording process is for
sure.
me.
Did you get into the contact mic thing?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing. Is
you
that
know about this, Brother Matt. They're little microphones. You can put them on
anything.
And it turns into
rub
an instrument.
And they get silly. Yeah. So a lot of that thing out of the just getting into recording, getting into, you know, doing tunes in the bedroom, doing like soundscapes, doing stuff with keyboards, doing stuff with layering, doing stuff with overdubbing, playing a boombox into a microphone that's recording, then playing that tape back, you know, over and over again. It just starts to sound like shit, but at the same time, it's a process, you know, overdubbing. And so I did, you know, the primitive methods to, you know, getting a four track to getting into reel-to-reel machines.
Your own Frippertronics.
Yeah, yeah. No, seriously, I got into that. You know, Cooper turned
you
me on.
Did you know Dal Margolis in Chester, New York?
I did not know him, but I knew the names. And I knew all, you know, that's what's crazy.
Well, because there was community, right?
Totally, totally. But I didn't, I never, you know these names. You know about the Dry Lungs compilations.
Yeah.
And you hear about these tape trading things. But I never, like, made that step. Like, there's like a handful of people that I traded like zines and tapes with.
Yeah.
Burping Turds cassettes in New Hampshire, Mudflap zine, like a lesbian bicycle zine out of the Bay Area. She's a filmmaker now, but like, you know, Greta Schneider. Like, I don't know how I'm, you know, you just come about these people and you start trading stuff with them and so.
Did you meet Byron around this time?
No, I never met Byron until much later. And
because he's West Mass by then.
And he's in Western Mass.
He had some years out here.
He's, yeah, totally. And he, and they're, you know, like Chris Corsano.
Yes.
Who I was friends with in college. and we, you know, saw him play a bunch of times in college.
He's
and,
in Ithaca. Or,
yeah, he's out there now. But you know, like Corsano was getting really tight with a lot of the folks in Western Mass at the
right.
time. And when we were in college together, and then, you know, as I stayed there and as Flywheel started to grow, I started to meet all those people.
Okay.
But I was starting to do, like, the Bromp Treb thing was just basically putting a new name to my electronic and fucked up music. And so whatever performances I would do.
Yeah, I was going to say, because it's moving from just the laboratory out into the fucking
Yeah,
stage.
Totally. And I always liked that about a performance, you know, about interacting with people and shaking them and, you know, and shaking myself.
Dancing.
Hmm?
Dancing.
Getting down. And this is where I want to...
People saw gigs, your early gigs, and they told me that big part was some dancing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, this. I want to invoke another Western Mass old elder who is no longer with us named Larry Howes, H-A-O-E-S. He was a much older dude, but total like alopecia, no hair on his body whatsoever.
Yeah.
Rubbery looking dude. Totally amazing dancer. He would sweat like a motherfucker and go completely crazy. And here we are, we're like teenagers dancing, and there's this guy who's like probably in his 40s, just wiggling and freaking out. And in my first couple of times meeting him, he would put on a wig. And he'd go into the pit and like be dancing, going crazy. And then all of a sudden he'd be gone. And then he'd emerge again without the wig, totally dome, you know, clear dome, and freak us out. I'm like, what is this guy? What is this dude?
An alien looking guy.
He ended up
twin brother.
Yeah, I mean, he's amazing, amazing. So he was in.
He's just a dancer.
No. He played in a bunch of bands.
Steve Stain?
No.
Because he's a mask guy, but Boston.
Oh, okay, yeah. No, this guy was a...
I would not believe how this guy danced.
This guy would wiggle.
There's something about dancers, right?
Yeah.
If they got it.
And he brought it, and so it was beautiful. And so I would just say that, you know, like Larry... And Larry went on to do a bunch of different bands. He was, like, came up in Springfield a few cities over, and he came up in the 70s, so he was very much, like, whatever was happening.
Springfield, the Basketball Hall of Fame?
Yeah, man.
Uh-huh.
Also,
maybe the wrestling one too.
He introduced me to Scientific Americans. That's like an old Western Mass. They had a Roar cassette out,
yeah.
Like compilations,
yeah.
Like, you know, kind of Devo-y, like dub, you know, shit. But that's like the inspiration for Bromp Treb is really like this, like, is like tape collage. Beats.
But at the same time as Fat Worm?
And Fat Worm just started emerging because it was like, we want to do a rock band, but we're seeing all these like improv and noise shows, but we want to do something with like a rock energy. And there's a lot of noise rock happening.
Did they share members?
Well, Bromp Treb at the earliest stage was three of us, but no, they were never in Fat Worm. It was just, and it just became me. It's just basically
you
me.
You were the same.
Whoever I, yeah,
you
I'm
the
same I'm, but I started, I mean, I've been playing drums all this time, so anyway.
When did you get on the drums? You didn't say anything about it.
I mean, high school. I the drum set I currently have.
That. All you said was bass.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm not married to any particular instrument, you know, like
I know,
I'm,
but you can like,
How'd
you get on the drums?
I got on drums in high school because my friend Jay was selling his drum set, and I had a Misfits bootleg 7-inch and $20, and he traded me the drum set for that.
Yeah.
I still have that drum set. That's the one I use.
You don't have that record anymore.
No, well, he probably doesn't. Yeah.
It's
garbage. But you know, so I would always use the drums for recording.
Yeah.
I never, you know, I didn't play in a band. The Fondells I played drums in a little bit, but with Fat Worm, yeah, I don't know how to play drums. I'm just learning how to play as the band is forming. So, and, you know, that Bossa Drub Brute, all those sped up drums in the recording, in that first recording, that's my shitty drum playing, just like tape manipulated so that I can cover up for how shitty I was.
I think that's totally valid, or just recreate the pace.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you make a sculpture, you just don't take the clay out of the ground and say, there's the fucking thinker.
Okay.
You have to, like, do some manipulation.
Yeah.
Or have your assistant do it.
Yeah. Your team. Your whole team.
Fucking, isn't that bullshit? Brother Matt, looks like it's coming up on time.
Oh, it's time.
Oh, time? For what?
Spin cyclage.
Yay, spin cyclage. Yay. here we go.
Thank you. Saints go marching in, what? clean, and the days went by. Turn a worthless monster, keeps it for later. Leaks and lips coming.
I'm going to blame that on you guys, because we really got into horns yet, but we're talking about horns. So I started with horns. It didn't end with horns, but Eddie Cleanhead Vincent, I was thinking, who do I know play horns? And I thought of a bunch of people, but he was the first one back from old Blue Shift days, so give some love to... I knew that dude, yeah.
I read about him, all 10 John Coltrane Bibles in the last couple of years. He's a big man.
He was a nice dude to me.
John Coltrane to switch over. Tanner.
Amazing.
He was playing alto. And he took care of him like his own son and stuff on tour and stuff. It's just beautiful. I'm so glad. So I got to connect to him for years.
Yeah.
See, music is a thing, people.
Yeah.
It's precious to put genre gulag bars around.
Yeah.
Let music be music and be a real, authentic connect between us humans.
Yeah, it was neat because those dudes tripped on me. Him, Big Joe Turner. I was like 22-year-old surfer kid hanging out with those guys.
That's right.
Nice.
This is the fucking essential fabric to connect.
Yeah.
Okay, people, at the end of that, August 30, 2023, this is what Peter's special guest, Neil Young, Koleka. August 30, 2023, it's the Third Eye Alarm Pedro Show. Thank you.
Thank you.
our show start off the third hour with Broth Trev doing Broth what? Parentheses version. So I guess there's more than one.
Yeah, there's a lot of versions.
Broth what? After that, more with three R's. People know we. Fuck that. Dentalo. Mazinga live. Ann Arbor. June 4, 2023. Jason Priestley. He's a singer guitar man. Detroit or Ann Arbor, that area. So they wrote him a song. 100 Flowers. This is a record they did with late, great Ethan James, producer man of Double Nickels on the Dime, Radio Tokyo. This tune, love song called I Hate. And Gloy, an excerpt of Subgloidals 1. Enlighten us to fucking Gloy.
Right now? Yeah.
Don't wait till next week.
No, no. Gloyd. Oh. Well, actually, my good buddy, you're going to be away, but my good buddy, Ruth Garbus, who's singing in that group, is playing in LA on the 10th of September. I don't know if this airs by then, but that'll be on, up at 2220, but she's,
going to be up later today.
Okay, beautiful. So, yeah, definitely go check out Ruth Garbus, who's the vocalist.
And Gloyd.
Gloyd. So Gloyd is a group that's an improvise.
Got this lady, Ruth.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Ruth's singing in that band. As is.
I was like a little Monty Python.
Oh no, Gloyd is a quintet. Where's it happen in the Ark? It happens in the Ark of Neil Young. It happens. In Western Massachusetts and Southern Vermont.
Shit did not fit in the rock mode of Fatworm era.
Nope.
Or an experimental arena of
Bronk Tread. No, basically I would say that, Gloyd kind of popped up, from some collaborations with various people. Gloyd has the bassist from Fatworm, Donnie Shaw. Donald Warner Shaw III, thumpstaff operator for the Fat Worm, longtime collaborator. He's also we've been doing noise stuff together, so you know, making non-musical sounds together for many years. It's Carbus. I think that this set ends.
Carbus is going to be
the
next show.
That's the duo. That's the duo that I've been playing with Donnie. But Gloyd
is actually in three bands.
A lot of bands. Doing a lot of projects.
I mean, when I get this mind reading thing, you won't have to use words.
Well, so Gloyd, I'm playing percussion, and so a little bit of keyboards and a little bit of horns.
Okay, a big difference. You're operating different.
Kind of just playing a bunch of different shit. Well, in Fatworm, I was doing tapes and electronics in Fatworm. Everyone in Fatworm is operating machines.
That was supposed to be the rock.
It's a rock band, but it's a fucked up rock band, man. Everyone chopping everything up. All of our records are like all five of us taking recordings from practices and chopping them up, making our own tunes, slapping them together. I mean, it's a real collage band. But we would also, you know, put in a lot of hours together writing, composing these songs that are all at interlocking parts, etc. So.
Gigs ain't like all of you sitting at a table with crap tops pressing space balls.
No. It's like us. It's us like scraping things with contact mics and banging on guitars.
You know,
and
this kind of thing.
Oh yeah.
He's got the whole gig on and they just.
No, there was the chimpin' on the top is pretty much just, you know, very post-production kind of part of it, you know. But.
Well, now you're in California. Are you trading files with these guys? Or is
I mean, I would say that Gloyd emerged after Fat Worm. I mean, it's a couple of years after Chris and Jess moved to the West Coast. They live up in the Bay Area. So that's why, and that was in 2013. So Fat Worm sort of like went on hiatus.
Right.
But we're talking smack about getting together, maybe more as a family hang, because Tim has some kiddos, and Donnie and I were in Europe last winter.
Right.
Carbus did a residency at Uncool for almost a month in Switzerland, working on Carbus shit.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna try.
Get to Carbus people.
Yeah. We'll talk about Carbus. Carbus. Thank you.
Thank you.
Pedro Show, Last Chunk of Music.
Last Chunk.
For this edition, Brock Trev, Empty River Omen.
Mm.
Jessica Ackerley, David Menestre. He was on the show yesterday. We didn't have enough time to play all the stuff, so here's part two of Live at Cold Spring Hollow.
Nice. And Western Mass.
more to the point, Car Bus, Bucket O Expectations. Is this from the Swiss stuff?
That's a good question. I do not remember what that's from. I've been kind of going through the mulch of recordings and chopping things up, so honestly, that could have been recorded in Western Massachusetts or somewhere else.
Okay, let's get we were talking off air, people, about the musician named Matt Jones, who just moved back to West Mass, being in Korea a lot.
Yeah.
Also, he did some Uganda.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he had Donnie and Tim and I on some recording.
Sure, sure.
We did a session
Big
with
Bob
him.
Bob Fay.
I'm sure, yeah. Yeah.
He's connected.
And you've been collaborating with him a bunch.
He's been on the show once.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I've done bass for him. He's asked me to do things.
That's great.
And he'll send me a song and say, "Bob, put bass," and he never says, "Hey, play this instead."
Yeah.
Yeah, it was beautiful that way. But you mentioned off air that we should talk about some.
Oh, I just was saying that you know, he's a wonderful person, and that, you know, that I just knew you had a connection with him, so
yeah.
So I thought I'd bring him up, but I don't you know, other than
I don't know how you guys are connected, so until I get the mind reading thing,
he probably could say more about it than I could, but I'd just say that he was in Western Mass around the time that we were. Fat Worm was doing our thing, and I was doing my Bromp Treb thing at the same time. I mean, that's.
Did you share bills, or was he in any of the units?
You know, I don't think so, and I don't ever recall seeing him perform.
No.
He's really like a recording guy.
You saw him in the audience.
Yeah, yeah, just a recording guy, as far as I know. And I could be wrong, and then I feel terrible. But yeah, so.
The Steely Dan thing.
Yeah.
But in the 90s, they started doing gigs. But for like 20 years,
yeah.
They didn't do any gigs, right?
No, Fat Worm was always, from the word go, we like worked on our shit. We had a set of songs, and then we started playing, and then we immediately started touring and started getting out, you know, going out to the Midwest and going out west.
Well, for a while, when you were in college, you weren't performing
at all. Wasn't doing that at all.
Yeah.
So it was all
maybe
after.
That was where Matt Jones was at.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. All Western Mass, but also I saw, you know, that Jessica Ackerley show, that track that you played was in Western Mass at Cold Spring Hollow, which, I mean, I actually wonder if Carbus played on that bill. I have to look at the liner notes.
He's a stand-up bass player.
Yeah, I feel like...
So you would probably remember if you saw...
I met her, I met her because I met her again when she came through L.A., so...
Uh-huh.
Anyway, but Cold Spring's a really great, great, totally disgusting punk house that's been around for like 20, 30 years in Western Mass. And, you know, all the noise weirdos play there. I mean, Idem Theftable, you know, like Crank Sturgeon.
Next door in Connecticut, maybe Hartford, Anthrax?
Oh, I remember that spot. I never went there. Okay. Never went there. I know Weird Al played there. I really wanted to go see Weird Al there, and I'm so pissed I didn't see Weird Al. But I did see Weird Al at a state fair kind of thing called the Big E. That was kind of an amazing.
And it played the college there too, Trinity.
Oh, okay.
And on the shutters of the windows, brother man, they got the tree with the rope, you know, from the witches.
Oh God.
But.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, when you're listening to the show, then some of these people,
I know some of these people. Yeah, and I know some of the people that have been on. You know, I mean, part of this.
You know, people ask me, "Hey, well, how do you keep up with all this?" And I said, "It's that is why it's people. It's a community."
Yeah, man.
Like you were talking earlier about when you were trading the tapes.
Yeah.
But you didn't know.
Yeah.
But you heard names. This is what it's about, right?
Yeah.
So it's not really about keeping up as much as the connections, I think.
It's like, I mean, I don't know, it's like regularly showing up at the shows and like going, I mean, that's all I've been doing the past year since I moved here, has been, when I wasn't on tour for the 2.5 months, I was just going to as many shows as possible And then we started, for the year before, or for a couple of years before I showed up here, I was doing this thing called Tootie. And I would go down by the river where I lived, which, one of the tracks I played on this thing is a kind of a more ambient track. The river one, I forget what it's called. I can't believe I wrote it and I forget, but.
The river one.
It's the droning one. I can't believe I'm spacing on the title right now, but whatever. Well, what's the last Bromtreb track?
Empty River Omen.
Empty River Omen. That's the track. So I would go down by this river that I lived next to for many years, 16 years, and I'd start playing a horn. I got a pocket trumpet, and I didn't know how to play it, and I said, I'm going to just play it by myself and invite anyone to join me and play whatever they want to play. No judgment, no bosses, no bullies, no show-offs. And I had people in the neighborhood. My buddy Victor would come down with his sax, and he's an amazing improviser, and so he would make me sound good because he knew how to just jump around and pick things out. And I was doing this for a bunch every week at the same time of day, once every Saturday morning we'd get in toot, and anyone could show up. And when I moved to L.A., there was a group that I saw up at Angels Gate Cultural Center.
Talk about very south L.A., San Pedro.
Pedro, yeah. This is a beautiful spot in Pedro. And so there was a group called Los Angeles Woodwind Skillshare. And they were performing, but they were doing basically the exact same thing as Tootie. You know, just like a non-judgmental, we don't know how to play our instruments, we're just playing breath based instruments. And so I found out when their sessions were, and now I go up to Chinatown once a week and jam with them. That's like
neat.
That sometimes it's like 20 people. Sometimes those guys come down here for Tootie, which we started doing
on Tuesdays.
And Watts joined me, so we've been doing it, and I pulled out a euphonium. And you pulled out a euphonium out of practice.
I got a euphonium in the late 80s on tour at Champaign, Illinois. LGS is on the case, right?
And
it was probably in the latter days.
I let you in on this, though. I was like, all right, I'm going to let Watt be it.
Well, here's the thing. It's been in my closet since then, so more than 30 years. Never learned to play it, but now
you're learning. And so what's beautiful about Tootie in this particular iteration of it is that Watt's been bringing fingering charts and actually doing the notes, which
I'm trying to relate to bass guitar.
Yeah. But
because the other parts don't relate to it.
Everyone learns differently. So I'm like, this is how you learn? Because I'm like, I don't give a shit what note it is. I don't need to know.
I'm trying to carry over to some music that I have.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to bring over, but there's parts that have no connection.
I always have done
this idea where you have to bring the note to your lip.
Yeah.
On the bass, if you put your finger in the right place, it's going to come.
Yeah.
It's not like
not
going to
come with a horn. No horn. So it's been a lot of fun, and we've been
Sunshine of Your Love.
We learned Sunshine of Your Love.
Oh, wow.
That's
cool.
Whole steps, half steps, steps and a half.
And you've been patient with me trying to explain all of these specific things about steps and notes, which I somewhat retain, but mostly just play by feel. I play by feel and by memory, and so, you know, that's like my way through any instrument I play.
Stops in between the octaves.
And it's been great. It's been a riot. And I still do the Laws thing, so like Laws is still Los Angeles Woodwind Skillshare. My buddy Steve Cato, who you met, he came out with a flute, but it was a very windy day, and wind is not easy for a flute player to compete with. So, but where Laws practices, we practice in a parking garage, and so it's like a echoey hellhole. It's very fun. But, you know, you get six flute players all playing at the same time, and it sounds fucked up. It's good.
You know, yeah, like I said, there's the octave, right? Which is like half of your tube length of your horn.
Oh, yeah.
Or twice the length of your bass string. Either half or double. It's some whole interval. But the way you cut those stops in between, that's where you get these things called scales. And so the Greeks came up with this buttload of years ago. they did it on these ladders, right?
Kind of the monochord.
Right, and they get different ways of getting to that, and that's where you get things like major and minor and mixolydian, dexolydian, there's just these ways of trying to talk to each other about music, which should be actually, like you said, let the freak flag fly. So this convention and stuff, it's not meant to be a chain, but it totally could be. In fact, people, you know, to break the rules, you got to learn them first. Well, I'm not doing it that sense. I'm just trying to hang on. I'm using the bass guitar as like a life preserver. Like if there's something I can hang on to get a handle on this horn thing, because it is so much different.
But you're doing great.
Now, you're a guy who's done bass guitar and horn.
And drums.
And drums, too. I mean, but I ain't that done drums. So. But things that you shared with me.
Yeah.
So I ask you personally, do you see the connect between the two? I mean, they're both music. It's ways of doing sound.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's the same. That's this thing of timbre, right? It's like how something vibrates.
Well, I think it's also the way you make it.
I mean, the drum is going to vibrate a certain way.
I put my finger on a thing, and then I use the other finger to strike. Mm. This other baby, I got to bring up a wind, and then shape my mouth.
Yeah.
Mouthpiece.
Embouchure.
To get a note, and then that gets dealt with. I don't have to, that's not involved with the bass guitar.
It's not. It's just a different part of the body. But your voice is a vocal cord. The vocal cord is
the voice slapping is probably the primary instrument.
Yeah.
Next to feet.
Yeah.
Or pounding on your chest.
Pounding on your chest or pounding on anything. So.
And
yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That's, Yeah.
But always use a jam. You do a puffer fish when you're jamming along before. reconnect.
I'm hitting the wrong notes. Probably were the wrong notes. I just keep from having a heart attack. Falling over. Yeah, the puffer fish thing. I should be able to channel that shit. Because that is a problem. But like I told you before we started the show, one of the problems is the lip just went out. After about 40 minutes, I just can't get anything more going. But the other thing is head rush.
All that breathing.
I'll tell you.
Worry about with a bass. You do have to hear something on the bass you don't have to worry about on the horn. It's calluses.
You just got to keep those calluses going. You're good. But the thing about the horn that I'm still always like trying, like, what? You just gotta play a single tone? This is what Greg Kelly, who was on your show.
Collaborated on an album that's coming out.
Greg Kelly, amazing trumpet player. He was just like, Neil, just play tones. Just play tones, you'll get better. And I was, I was posting lots of videos of me playing shitty trumpet, which I just love.
See, man, I ain't thinking trumpet. I'm thinking like that cat on sousaphone in the Dirty Dozen Brass
Band. Oh, yeah.
Or hearing these Latin guys with American.
Well, the euphonium is so much easier.
But there's looser. Intervals. It ain't long tones. It's little riffs.
But to be able to not get the head rush. And to also be able to hit those notes, you got to play the long tones, and you got to do them for a while.
Yeah, build
and
it. Well, I
build
also
it.
Think you have to develop this thing called circular breathing.
You don't have to.
It helps not get head rush.
Well, but I think you just got to pay attention to your breath. But
head rush is
we're getting
from
there. We're getting there, Watt.
To the brain.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they're from. It means you're like blowing it off the horn. You're not letting it get up to the lungs. Right?
Well.
So the circular breathing is you set up the lungs as a bellow.
Oh, I know.
A
but
reservoir.
I still haven't figured it out, but I'm getting there.
It's something that
Corsano's got
kind
it.
Of like
Greg Kelly's got it.
Autopilot. You can't be thinking
about
it. Yeah. Or else you're dead.
Or the music suffers.
Yeah.
And if the music suffers, the communication suffers.
Yeah.
Say no more.
What's next?
You musically.
I don't know. I'm just trying to play with as many people in LA as I can find that are interested in playing with me.
You were saying something about getting the Fat Worm.
Well, Fat Worm is going to
be more of a family thing.
It's more of a family hang. We'll see what happens. But
and then the other prods, like
Bromp Treb. I'm playing in Mexico in a week.
Okay, so that's ongoing.
Playing a couple gigs in Mexico. Just never been.
Negro people.
Yeah, through my friend AD Jimenez. She's in LA, but she's I think from Tijuana. So
that's who you're doing the gig.
So we're doing Tijuana and Valle de Guadalupe.
Right.
And just two nights, and yeah, but I'm going down with her, hanging out this crew called Net Radio.
Yeah.
So, you know, so that'll be cool. I'm excited to do that.
What about the recording?
I didn't even mention.
Back on the East, are you doing that here?
Did you get the file for Muscle Beach? I thought I gave you a Muscle Beach file. Maybe I didn't.
But are you recording here like you were back there?
Yeah. Well, that's the problem. I don't have a pad. Necessarily. Okay. So I need like a real studio set up because I have tape machines and junk like that. But at the moment I've been, recording a little bit, playing lots of shows, schlepping the drums out, and I played with this duo Salenta and Topu, and they're a piano and a cello, and I was playing drums with them yesterday. That was super fun. They have a record on a Futura Resistenza. Which is a Belgian label. I actually just met Frederik van Velde. It's like I'm just kind of excited. But that was the other thing is this other improvised rock band I've been playing in called Muscle Beach, which I didn't even. We did a recording on Dub Lab.
Ah.
So that's a
Frosty.
That's online. That's online.
No Frosty. I know him at Dub Lab.
Okay, yeah.
Great cat.
Yeah, Ale and...
Oh, shit, someone. We're out of time.
We're out of time, whatever, man. Lots of projects.
Stuff,
tons of shit.
Come back on.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. This has been super fun.
Let go of more tons of shit on it.
It's great to ride my bike over, and, that hill is a little more of a hill than it looks.
Yeah.
Which I like. But that means I get to ride down it, on my way home.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you guys so much for having me.
I'll get back with Brother Matt when I get this tour done. Check the diaries, MikeWatt.com.
Ooh.
In August 30, 2023, edition, Watt Pedro, so keep your powder dry. See you soon, brother.
Yeah.